Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Jordan Harbinger here, and welcome to Minisode Monday. Happy to be here with you kicking off the week with something quick and actionable that you can implement right away that'll make you more magnetic and effective. Today, Charles Duhigg is back with us talking about the right way to create a to-do list. Charles, thanks for being with us. I gotta admit, creating a to-do list, it sounds really easy. What's going on here?
So when most of us write a to-do list, we literally use it as like an external memory aid, right? Like we just write down a bunch of the stuff that we want to get done so that you don't have to keep it in your head. You can just jot a bunch of notes. It turns out that that's actually the wrong way to write a to-do list, because what our brain does is our brain will automatically start looking for the easiest thing to do in order to give us a sense of completion, what's known as a cognitive need for closure. In fact, what we know is that about 15% of people, when they're writing a to-do list, they actually write at the top of the list something they have already done, because it feels so good to like sit down at your desk and cross that off right away, right? It feels like you're like it. But the problem is, if you're doing that, you're using a to-do list for what's known as mood repair, not for productivity. You're using your to-do list to make yourself feel better. So what's the right way to write a to-do list? Well, according to all the research, the right way to write a to-do list is at the top of your to-do list to write your most important goal, what's known as a stretch goal. Now, it might be the most important thing for today. It might be the most important thing for this week. It might be the most important thing for this year. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to use that to-do list to not serve as just a memory aid, but rather to force you to think about your priorities, so that when you're sitting at your desk and you're getting something done and you look down at your to-do list, you're reminding yourself, if I'm spending all my time emailing and my biggest goal for today is to write this memo, then I should turn off my email and I should start working on that memo. But then the next question becomes, okay, so if I write my stretch goal at the top of my list, what do I do next to actually not make it feel overwhelming, right? Because if my stretch goal is write that really hard memo or run a marathon, that's almost too big. What the research says is the right way to take that stretch goal and break it into a plan is to just use some method. And one of my favorite methods is this thing called SMART goals, where you take what you want to get done and you just make yourself really quickly jot down, okay, specifically what do I want to do? That's the S. How am I going to measure whether it's done or not? Is it achievable? Like, do I have all the resources around me? Is it realistic? Do I need to like shut the door or turn off my email so I don't get distracted? The T is for timing. How long should I set aside in order to get this done? It takes like 45 seconds to take a big goal and to find its SMART components, S-M-A-R-T. But if you do that within a minute, you have your top priority at the top of your to-do list, and underneath, you essentially have a plan of how to get started right away. That is the right way to write a to-do list, because you've identified the most important thing and you've told yourself how to start. And once you have that, it'll happen.
Charles, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great stuff for you to apply this week. Don't forget about the Art of Charm Challenge. It'll help you connect with others, create more productive personal and business relationships, and has step-by-step challenges to help you move forward. There's also a Facebook group with thousands of other AOC family taking the challenge as well. Of course, AJ and I are in there with the rest of the Art of Charm team, helping you all move through the challenges. Text CHARMED, that's C-H-A-R-M-E-D, to 33444 here in the USA, or go to theartofcharm.com/challenge and get rocking.
Johnny, we know if you listen to the show, you are driven. In fact, we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed.
Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster.
And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey.
Our hiring needs are broad in scope, and Indeed makes things easy and fast and organized. I don't know what we would do without Indeed.
Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets.
Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/charm. Just go to Indeed.com/charm right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.